Guilty movie pleasure fans, just when you thought Hollywood was out of ideas, are you sick of disaster films that center on just tornadoes? Or maybe you're sick of monster movies that center just on sharks? Well, do we have the movie for you? Because let's make six of them! We have Sharknado today!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Yeah, I only saw 20.
Yes! Here we go. Sorry, we were talking during that. We were so excited about the six Sharknado movies coming out. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode here at Guilty Movie Pleasures. I'm your host at the... I always do that. Every single time I call myself my Twitter name instead of my real name.
It's at this point, you can just call him that.
I'm Ben Begley, at the Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. With me, as always, my co-host...
Jesse McIntosh.
Yes, yes, yes. And at Too Much Jesse.
At Too Much Jesse.
He doesn't even need that.
On Twitter and Instagram.
But we have two...
You already know that.
We have two very special guests today. They are... we have Dan Gemelli here, the co-founder and chief innovation technical officer, and Kirk Miller, the media program director of MX4D. Welcome, guys. We got Kirk and Dan, in case that wasn't clear when I intro'd you guys. MX4D, thank you for coming on the show. I mean, so can you guys just tell us a little bit about this format to people who are not initiated?
Okay, yeah.
We're just jumping right in.
All right, we'll just dive right in. So MX4D came about from our work in the theme park world.
Yeah.
So we've been around for like 27 years now. That's how old I am. Kirk's a little older.
I really wish I hadn't said that.
Yeah. We actually worked together before we even started the company, so it's very sad.
Or awesome that you guys are still working together.
Yeah.
It's more like a miracle.
Yeah. We look the same. You can't hardly tell us apart. It's a funny thing. So... We came out from the theme park industry. It was where we started. We got into motion simulator control and all these other things such as that. And we started building our own motion seats back in like 2007, 2008.
Oh,
wow. Made it through the recession. It was like, whew, that was nice.
Yeah.
Cruised through there, kept people employed, which was great. And we moved into the cinema world in 2013 and started putting in MX4D motion effects theaters all around the world. And at present, we have over 300 theaters worldwide.
Wow.
So mostly out of the country, even though we're all based right here in California. But we've just opened up our new one in the Chinese theater.
Yeah.
TCL Chinese theaters.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Let me say that correctly. It's the TCL Chinese theaters.
Which we actually saw. Jesse and I saw Avengers Infinity War in MX4D. First MX4D experience. I've been meaning to go to Last Jedi and also Rampage. I didn't get to go. This was insane. It's awesome. So just, I'll explain from our point of view, and then you guys can tell us the technical stuff. But let me make sure I get all these. So just so you know what MX4D is, it's motion seats, but there's all kinds of things that happen. There's rumblers in the seats that accent the action. There's back pokers. Leg ticklers, which shoot out. Those were your favorites.
They're still my
favorites. They scared the crap out of me.
I said it when we first left, and then I looked back, and I, like, confirmed.
Because you guys timed it out where, like, I wasn't ready for it. It was, like, 40 minutes into the movie, and all of a sudden I was like, duh, what was that?
I was actually watching for leg action on screen, hoping
that
we were going to get more leg ticklers.
There's neck ticklers that shoot out a little bit.
There's strobe lights.
Scents, where I sent... The beginning, there's like a little bit of a fiery scent when Thanos...
Smoke.
By the way, I may spoil a little bit of Avengers Infinity War during... I'll try not to, though. We won't give any third act stuff away. There's fog for some of the bigger explosions that shoots out under the screen, which is awesome. Bubbles, when you turn the laser into bubbles. My favorite was... Either the leg ticklers or that wind blasts when the spaceship landed in New York and they go out. Because at first when they're in the building, I was like, where's the effect? Where is it? And you guys, I love that you waited till they went outside to unleash it. Because then it was like, you felt like you were Tony Stark in that moment. Although I will never be as cool as Tony Stark. But you guys helped me feel that way. This wind's just blasting you. There's seat poppers. There's back poppers. What else? Strobe.
Neck. Do we hit it off?
And water. And back.
Neck.
Oh, neck. Yes, yeah, the neck. The
back. Butt pokers.
So butt pokers. I like that it's called, what is it called on the site? It's called
basically,
seat poppers.
Seat poppers.
Basically, we just torture you.
Now,
butt poppers is something Ben has a hard time saying. So we don't want to make him
have
feel
a,
too uncomfortable.
Everyone should have a hard time saying
yeah,
that.
For sure.
I'm sure there was a meeting where you guys were like, let's see, butt pokers, butt poppers, or seat poppers? I think we're going to go with seat poppers.
Overwhelmingly butt poppers is what we're getting back.
I want to know, now that I just totally like took probably what you guys should have explained instead of me, how did the team come up with all of these concepts, and were there any that were like, that's too much? Like, How many different variations, roughly? Like, how did that happen?
Well, how they came up with them is probably your...
Well, we started, you know, with one. We had motion way back in the day.
Yeah.
And as things started going forward, different effects became obvious that we wanted to add to the whole system as we moved forward. So we just kept adding them and adding them and adding them. Sometimes we added them and said, well, that's bad. Let's not do that anymore. It's just not pleasant at all.
Yeah.
From there, Kirk's got so much experience programming all of those effects because he was programming all the motion rides for the theme parks for us just years and years ago, and he moved right into this, and now he's the expert. He's the expert on anything to do with motion programming worldwide. I would say if I could put a little crown on him, it'd slip off.
But, this is the only time you're ever going to hear that from him. But I would add, too,
I think the
most significant thing we added was a vibrating speaker in the seat.
Yeah.
Because it does all kinds of, it mimics like everything.
Yeah.
Right. Spaceships.
Absolutely. Hulk and Thanos were punching each other.
Explosions, yeah. Like everything. It's a very cool thing. It takes a long time for us to program it, but it really adds a whole, like, dimension. Half my team spends the entire movie on just that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's really a soundtrack. He creates a second soundtrack for the movie just for the butt kickers.
Well, and Dan, before we started, you were telling us that the water effects you try and use sparingly. And so, because we felt
now.
I heard Kirk, you were very upset about that. Because I felt one where Spider-Man flung down and hit the water there when he was swinging to go save people.
You don't spoil it with like Spider-Man swinging. People might not know.
Look out! And I remember there was like a little blast, and I was like, oh, cool! But so what? How often do you have to fight for effects? Well,
we're down to 3 water blasts
per movie,
mm-hmm.
per act.
Per movie.
One per act.
Yes. Some would say that's too many. We did Moana, and we had 31 water blasts.
I'm going to crowd up by the end. They're just like, should we run a park?
What does that go for in an hour and a half?
Yeah.
That's one every, like, what, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There you go.
That's a little too much.
That'd be a little too much.
Some of our clients did send us a few comments.
Maybe a little less.
Well, and just from an audience standpoint, because I had done another version of this that will not be mentioned, but that had been too much before. There's another kind that's out there that's a little too much. And I'd done it years ago with Jurassic World, and by the end of it, I was nauseous. I felt like I'd been beat up. It flung me around too much, and it was more randomized. And so I was a little nervous going into this. I was like, I'm excited, but I don't know. And what I loved and what we talked about afterwards, and we even said in our little shoddily done selfie video that we posted, is that it doesn't distract from the movie. It just adds to it. Because something like this, to somebody listening or watching us right now, they're probably thinking, my seat's moving, I'm getting poked. That sounds crazy. It is, but it works because it's just enough that you're not distracted from seeing the picture, and it doesn't, like, jar you from... It's not like you're being flung like this. I like that there's a subtlety, and it's very well-timed. I think that there's something really cool about that.
Yeah, we take great pains to do a lot of nuance.
It's very nuanced.
Very, very accurate, you know, to the frame with what we're doing. So we spend a lot of time. We honed this whole thing. When we first got into it, the studios were very concerned about the level of that stuff. So we took a long time to develop a smooth motion that still had impact. So, you know, you're moving around a lot, but you feel like it's just kind of gliding until it hits something, or you get, you know, something explodes or something like that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with the studios and the process that goes into you get a movie and you decide we're going to program this movie, and how much information you get back from them, and just basically how many iterations of the programming that you go through?
I'll start.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm not supposed to say that. It was a very long process initially.
That's fine.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry. Yeah. It's live, I thought.
It is.
There was a very long process initially getting the studios to come on board because it was all chicken and egg. If you have a bunch of theaters, we'll give you the movies. Well, if we have the movies, we can get a bunch of theaters. So it was quite the thing to get going, and a lot of it had to do with the programming we were able to show them and demo to them and say, this is really cool. This is what's going to happen. This is how we're going to do it. It's going to be very subtle. And one of the key things is what we do, the whole technology we're based on, to be technical geeky here for a minute, is we base it all on music software. Everything's done with MIDI programming.
Nice.
So all of our programmers, all of Kirk's programmers, are all MIDI programmer musicians and video editor type guys, and so there's a good blend of art and technology there. And I'll let him take it from some studio stories.
I want to just make sure that my guys get credit here on the show. It's not me. I have a whole team of guys, and they are really good at what they do. All of them very talented. They come from the music world, but they also have a lot of a lot of expertise in digital software. I'm not allowed to say I'm either. I can say I'm right.
Oh, yeah.
So just an amazing.
We have Crystal off camera just judging them both this entire time, going, stop doing that. Don't do that. It's amazing.
She has the no sign, just holding that up for us. So anyway, yeah, I just want to make sure that they get their due there.
Wait, aren't they supposed to be working right now?
Hey, you guys shouldn't be watching this right now.
Get back to work.
It's going to go to tape. You can watch it after work. Just kidding. They're not there. You can do whatever
like
you want.
A really small scale version of when people win Academy Awards and they thank their kids and they're like, "You guys should go to sleep now.
You should go to work now, kids."
Small scale version.
I know we got to eventually get to Sharknado, but what I did want to ask is, have you guys thought of doing? You know how Throwback Thursdays are a huge thing with movies. Have you thought of or approached studios about doing old school disaster movies or a movie as ridiculous as Sharknado? In MX40, has that been something that's been talked about?
We see
everyone in the room nodding. Yeah.
Soon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Crystal's job over there.
It's
in the
works.
There's a cryptic soon coming from off camera, guys. I don't know how much you can talk about that, but if there was a movie, what movie would you choose would be your like go to from back in the day? I know that's.
I don't
really
know if I just do like one movie. I like or the idea of doing a something that has a series, like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, not like Rocky.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be so hot. But Sharknadoes might be a lot of fun if you can get the crowds in there.
Absolutely.
To be honest, that one of the interesting challenges is that the studios do all the marketing and promotion for the movies, not the theaters. So when you do something special in the theater, it's a whole other world of how you get people involved and get people out to see it. So that's one of the things we have to look at. But for us, it's strange, but some of the best movies are Spider-Man movies.
Oh, absolutely.
They're so great in 4D because it's like,
they have a natural timing to them. It that works just perfectly with our bench. It's the amount of time that he swings in one direction.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, that's a key thing to why those work so well. And the combination of somebody floating through the air and then landing and, fighting, like, it's perfect.
So what you're saying is Spider-Man 2 in 2019 is going to be a really, really,
go
really
see
good
that.
One. Yeah, yeah. But there are a ton of stuff coming out. You have pretty much every major action film and big blockbuster coming out. You even had A Quiet Place, which first I was so like, I was like, I wonder how that is. And then after experiencing Avengers, I was so mad at myself for not seeing A Quiet Place. Because not only are the jump scares great in there, but I could imagine if you get a back poker when you have a jump scare.
Yeah, we have people that literally sit in the scene, like, they scream like,
"Wah!" Like, just, I imagine there's a lot of spilled popcorn. I brought a water bottle that was closed for it because I didn't know how intense it was going to be.
We didn't know, like, before we went into the theater, I was like, should I have brought a poncho or a helmet? Or, like, what's going to happen? And then during the trailers, Ben put popcorn on the armrest, and I, like,
you panicked.
I was so full of anxiety.
You were just like, can you move
is
that?
Is that the spot for it? I don't think so. I think it was a terrible idea.
I think you explained it as going never seeing a football game and then going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, seeing
like.
Avengers Infinity War.
Because he hadn't seen it. This is my third time seeing it.
I hadn't seen
it.
It was my first MX4D experience. So yeah, it was right before we went in, and I was like, I feel like I've never watched football, and I'm going to the Super Bowl right now.
We actually had somebody from the last Star Wars movie from Disney that came for one of the events that we did. Can I say that?
Yeah. Okay. No, I was just checking time. That's all.
Okay, I was like,
Disney! Oh, no! No! I can't mention that!
And I said, oh, darn. She went through the movie, and at the end, she said, I've seen this movie 10 times. I felt like I was seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And so we were very happy about that. And it happened to be a group of techno geeks from the cinema industry that we all bust down to go see the movie. And after the first fly-through scene where they're going through the old Federation destroyer or whatever, the whole theater erupted in applause.
That's so awesome.
I said, now, that's pretty cool when a bunch of technical guys think this is really cool.
Absolutely. That's got to be super gratifying. All right, well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this at the end and tell where can they find a theater near them? Where is there a site to send them to or anything? Or?
We have over 300 theaters worldwide and 7 in the U.S. So in the U.S., it's a little scarce. That's a very mature theater market that's growing like mad. So that's going to be the next step. So right now, the closest one here in Hollywood, of course, is at the TCL Chinese Theaters up in Hollywood. We have Oxnard, middle of the country, and B&B theaters out in Kansas and Missouri. And building more of those, and National Amusements Theaters in Boston area, pretty well cover the whole Boston area with our theaters out there. If you go to China, we have 200 theaters over there. So
there you go.
If you find those anywhere you want to go.
Throw a rock.
You know, Tokyo and the big one with the Godzilla on the roof, we have one there, and it's actually one of the highest grossing theaters in all of Japan, our
That's
little 100-seat
awesome.
Theater. So we're pretty happy with that.
That's great. I can't recommend this enough, and it's the perfect way to see these big, crazy movies, like the next movie with The Rock, or any. We have Deadpool 2's coming out next. Wow. You have Solo, you have Venom, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I feel like we'll be insane in this in the best way. So we got to go back and see Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom and Solo.
We actually chewed all you with a giant turn. No.
Yeah.
So, yes, on helmet.
It's a
for one
view
one.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, one viewing, and then you're dead. So, go check it out. If you have seen a movie in MX4D, tweet it all of us and let us know what you think. But now we're going to go into Sharknado, what we're here for as well. We did a little double feature today with MX4D, and now we're talking about Sharknado. It's been a hotly requested movie here on our show, and also it was one of your guys' that you threw out on a list.
Sad.
Not at all.
No.
I there's no reason to hedge on this.
Usually when we do this show, Jesse and I kind of force Jesse to do a movie he's never seen, or a fan on Twitter forces us to do a movie he's never seen. I usually have seen every movie on this show. This is one movie I never saw, and I actually owned it on Blu-ray because I remember it was a big deal, and I'm also kind of obsessive compulsive and buy a lot of stupid stuff I don't need. But I bought this one, and I hadn't watched it, and now they've made six, or the sixth one's coming out. And this is the perfect reason to watch it. I want to hear what you guys thought of it first and why you picked it as one of your list of guilty movie pleasures before I go into what my initial first reactions were. So what did you think of it when you first saw it?
Mine's short because I only saw 20 minutes. And I had enough time to watch the whole thing.
I can't wait till we go beat for beat and you're just like, should I go get a coffee?
My theory is that I saw the whole thing in 20 minutes.
Well, no. I mean, there is a lot of driving in front of a bright white light with I Love Lucy style steering. There's a lot of that.
A lot of driving on dry land. And then all of a sudden, there's just water rushing onto the car.
This is the most confusingly edited movie I've ever seen in my life. Where it cuts. Okay, sorry. I want to hear what Dan. I'm going to get into too much. Dan.
It's very sad because I had no movie? Idea that this is what we're going to talk about. And you sent the thing. What do you like? It's like, oh, you know, I love those really crappy sci-fi movies like Sharknado.
So you've seen the whole movie, though.
Well,
right?
I have all five of them on DVR at my house.
Yes. So. How many have you seen?
All of them. I didn't even know a six was coming out. My boys are going to be so excited. Me and the boys, I got three boys. We get together, we watch these
things.
They're
hilarious.
And my wife's like, oh.
The creator of it, the writer of it, tweeted at me because I posted a photo of me like this because that's how I watched the whole movie. And he was like, I think that was the point. And I was like, great job. I didn't want him to think I was making fun of it because that is the point of the movie.
You can't, I mean, you know, there's Dino Croc and Shocktopus and Mega Shark and all these other great movies. So we'll sit there and we'll watch them on the weekends. But Sharknado kind of really hit the pie there. Unbelievable. It's like sharks being sucked out of the ocean and coming into the ship.
And there's no buildup. They just go right into it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh,
it's a Sharknado.
Oh,
wow.
Well,
I didn't know there was that many sharks.
And everyone just reacts like this is a typical Sharknado.
Well,
we
love
just
that.
Have to like deal with it the way we do.
I told him earlier there's this one scene that's just hilarious, and John Hurt, I guess, gets eaten. He's like in some canal or something, and he's kind of off screen. It's like, here comes a shark. Oh, no. Ow. Ow.
Poor John Hurt.
Ow.
He deserved better than this. John Hurt, rest in peace. He's so good. And in this movie, I'm just like, why are you in this?
I do want to open up the question. Because there's, like, obviously it's a movie called Sharknado about a tornado filled with sharks. So there's not a lot to, like, nitpick
about.
The title
says it.
Right, yeah.
It says it all. It says it all.
But is this a world that contains no other sea life?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, these tornadoes were filled with
just
only sharks.
There was no fish.
And every variety of shark.
Yeah. No wonder they were so hungry for human flesh, because there was nothing to eat in the ocean.
We didn't get the prologue, which was that the marine life has all died off except sharks.
I guess so, yeah.
Because those sharks are pissed the second
they land. They're so angry.
The second they, when the one lands on their car and starts chomping through the hood to get them, I'm like, that they're the seal. I mean, that makes no sense.
Yeah, there are other humans more easily accessible. Yeah. You don't need just to roll off through this car.
Swim down the block and get some
fresh water, salt water, doesn't matter anymore.
It makes no difference.
They're in the canals, they're in your living room, they're everywhere.
So do they get, I assume they only get more absurd. Like, it looked like Tara Reid in like the fifth one, because I think it was called The Fifth Awakens, and it looks like she has a lightsaber ring or something at one point.
No, it's like she's a robot at this point. Except for, I think, her head, because she got eaten up. But put her back together, so she can fly.
I have to watch all these now. You had me at Tara Reid as a robot. I thought so just from her performance in this, but... Should I have said that? That's all right.
Do you know her person?
I actually have worked with her. Whoops. She's actually a lovely person. She's a lovely person. We were in a movie called The Hungover Games together, which, if you want to see a guilty movie pleasure, that is one of them.
And that was human Tara Reid, or that was half robot, half human Tara Reid?
I'm not sure at that point.
Okay.
Not sure. Good story. Anyways, lovely person, though. So, now that I made things awkward, what did you think of it, Jesse? So, you actually saw this.
I saw it.
Have you seen any of the other ones?
No, I just saw this one.
And you were like, enough.
It
says enough said. You were enough.
Like, enough watched.
Enough watched.
No, like, how different can a second Sharknado be from the first
apparently,
Sharknado?
Apparently,
boy, they've got different plots. They do involve sharks, but we get, like, Mayan jungles and all kinds of stuff going on.
Very nice. You're selling me more and more with everything you say. I'm down.
I made the wrong assumption, clearly. But I watched the first one and enjoyed it for what it was, absolutely.
Did you have, like, a viewing party? Because a lot of people, when it came out, had these big, drunken viewing parties.
I didn't have anything so elaborate, but I do remember when it came out and being obviously interested.
Yeah.
Because how could you not be?
But I was, and I just never saw it.
Yeah,
everyone I knew saw it, and I was like, it'd be more fun to watch with people who haven't seen it. And instead, I just watched it alone at 11 o'clock on Monday night.
It's the same experience.
Yeah. It's like when I watched The Room with Spanish subtitles on YouTube before we did it on the show.
Sure.
Have you guys seen The Room?
I have not. I heard about it.
Oh, my. We'll talk about it after the show.
The same plot as Sharknado.
Just it's without sharks.
Believe it or not, it's about...
The same plot.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Without sharks.
It's the extended The Room universe.
Crystal's seen it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So now we're going to do something crazy. We're going to do the plot in under 3 minutes. If you guys will chime in, we'll all just go round robin trying to remember things. You'll know the first act, the opening credits.
Right.
we'll start with you, Kirk, because you know the first 20 minutes. Are we ready in the booth, Steve?
Yes, sir.
All right, so.
But it could be a spoiler for all the people that.
That's okay. It was spoiler warning, everybody. We're going to ruin the entire movie right now.
There are five now, so it's on you.
Yes, it's on you.
There's more to see.
All right,
here we go. Gentlemen, in 5, 4, 3.
You gonna take us off?
Start.
So Sharknado opens on a ship.
Uh-huh.
Guys are arguing down below decks. They come up.
Shark soup.
Instantly, the sharks are tossed around and thrown on board and start eating.
Yep. All right, Dan.
One guy's face gets eaten, by the way.
There's sharks. A great there's moment. Tornadoes. There's a big combination. Somehow or other, it's some massive worldwide event that's causing these massive tornadoes. And, of course, they land in Los Angeles because, we have such severe weather out here.
Exactly.
Tornado capital of the world.
Yeah, and just mass quantities of rain filling the streets.
Basically Kansas.
Sharks everywhere throughout L.A.
Yeah. Okay, and it starts off where they're on the pier, and we get introduced to John Hurd and Ian Ziering. And Nova, and they're all like, hey, we're at a bar, this is fun. And then immediately sharks start flying and killing everybody, and they react like it's just like hail or something. And they all escape, they get in a car, and they start driving to go find his wife and daughter. And then it seems like later on they just rewrote it to add a son in haphazardly.
Yep, sure did.
So then they go, and they get to a freeway where there's like, it's very confusing how the flooding is happening. And they're driving in front of a big white light the entire time, and then there's people getting drowned and sharks attacking, and John Hurd gets killed, and then they get to Tara Reid's house in the most hilarious scene of the movie.
So this is my favorite part of the movie, is when they go into the house, the daughter and the boyfriend come down, and there's like this very strange argument, and then the water rushes into the house, and there's a battle with the shark in the house, and then they somehow make it out.
And the house is dry.
Ian Ziering's like, I'm going to distract them, and you run to the car on my go. And go. And no one's prepared for it, but they all make it out, and then they all get into the car, and then the water rushes out of the house.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Do you want to...
You can't forget the chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. So then...
All Sharknadoes.
Need he's a got chainsaw.
The chainsaw inside the shark, carving his way out at the end.
Oh yeah,
that's okay. A spoiler. I'm sorry.
Spoiler. So then, oh god, what happens? Then they go. There's the sun.
So they're going to the sun.
They go.
So they find the school bus. And
yeah,
they,
the school bus.
Yes.
The worst rescue scene I've ever seen in my life.
He's like, I have to rescue these kids. So he's like, I'm gonna go up to the bridge and rappel. And so he has a rope and he rappels down. And he
with a ranting bus driver.
Yeah, the bus driver who's from Montana, I think.
Wyoming.
Yeah.
Hollywood's gonna kill me, and they get smashed by a house.
Smashed. And then they make it up to the sun's aviation school, and they find the sun. And the sun's like, this copter will work. Let's get in this copter. Let's make bombs. Let's drop bombs in the tornado.
Yeah, they make a bomb out of a propane tank and a flare.
Yep,
like that'll work.
They make like seven of them. Really. Fast, yeah. MacGyver style. Oh god, okay, here goes. So then they fly in there, and then there's an old folks home that they end up at where sharks are swimming in the pools, and they've been fast enough to kill everybody except these people who are all in their 80s. They can't be fast enough to eat them. And then we have the Nova and the Sun are flying in, and they blow up the first two Sharknadoes, and then there's the last one, and they can't blow it up, and so the Ion Zeering drives the car and rolls out and blows up and then runs back from miles away in 10 seconds, and they
and
all
the shark
hug.
Lands on him. And he chainsaws out and then pulls Nova out of the
Which I was so pissed when they killed Nova. And then I love the fact that he happened to get attacked by the same shark that ate her.
And didn't let the shark just land on the sidewalk and die. He instead jumped into the shark with the chainsaw.
And managed to not cut Nova up while jumping into the mouth of the shark because he...
Precision. And it was a... giant shark.
It was precision.
It was big enough for him to
just
fit
luck.
Inside.
Yeah. Hey.
Without being chewed. Just fate, swallowed whole.
Right.
Yeah. Fate wanted Nova to survive. Oh my god. All right. So we're going to go into this. just go over some of the more ridiculous moments, which is the entire movie. The whole opening sequence with the guy that is the hilarious acting in the whole movie, the acting's hilarious. But I love in the beginning, it's, I guess they're talking about shark soup.
I guess.
And the one guy says it's decent, so he doesn't want to pay a lot for it. And then we have, let's just play clip number one, because the acting is Oscar worthy.
You know the most important thing I learned out here. We shouldn't be afraid of the sharks. They are the ones that should be afraid of us.
Now, I know that recording sounds terrible, but some of the sound in the movie just sounds that bad.
Sure.
Like it was recorded in a tin can. So then they are all mauled and eaten by...
So the best part of this is once there are like maybe 10 sharks on board, the guy who came to make the deal is still shooting at the other guy. He's not like, that's the captain of the boat. I need him to escape this situation. He's still trying to kill the guy. And there are just sharks everywhere. And he's like, well, I'll figure it out myself.
I wrote down that the CGI looks like Sega CD cutscenes from back in the day. Sure. I don't know if that's going too deep cut nerd on everybody here. From the blank stares, I'll say yes. The one shark that grabs onto one of the victims and then chomps him up like a Pac-Man. Do sharks eat like, do they just like consume you whole like that?
I don't know.
Especially when they're out of the water. How do they keep that forward momentum?
They might just be trying to savor, you know, by a little bite at a time.
Such a good call. Yeah.
And it's not, it can't pull itself forward when it's on land. I see what you're saying. So how did it, unless he was pushing himself in, like, oh, I'm already being eaten, I better speed this
process
up. You're
actually questioning the credibility of some aspect of the movie?
I'm going to question a lot of credibility of this movie.
Okay.
So then there's...
For the production quality?
this whole thing, when the captain gets killed by the tornado and part of his face gets... It's so confusingly edited because, like, it's just showing a close-up of him and, like... When I don't even know what really happened in that moment. I'm not
I thought
certain.
It wasn't a shark?
I think it was a shark.
I'm guessing it was a shark. I'm guessing it was a shark.
Probably.
It's a good guess. But so then they go to Ion Zeering, and
it would be funny if it was just shrapnel. It was the only death of the whole movie that was not shark related.
Some coral.
He died of natural causes. It was just sudden. We didn't realize.
We didn't know. Then we go to Ion Zeering, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in the bar with his Australian buddy. And no, it's New Zealand. He's from New Zealand, right?
Yes.
Oh man, my buddy from New Zealand would be so pissed that I can confuse the two again.
You even had it written down.
I did, right?
Yeah.
I even had it right here.
Yeah.
That's all right. We get the waitress with some scars that she doesn't want to talk about.
Some scars that are like very clearly bite marks.
Yeah.
People
keep asking.
She's just like, what happened to your leg? It's like, something bit her. Yeah. Obviously, but she keeps being like,
could it be?
Yeah, I wonder, shaving accident?
What could it be?
Lion? I don't know.
Yeah.
The first thing that happens is a shark just flies through the window, and then more sharks fly in, and they start eating everybody in the bar. And like we said in the beginning, I love the fact that they just react as if...
Well, okay, so even before that, yeah, they're out on the surf, and people are in the water, and sharks are coming inland, and people are...
And Ian Ziering, instead of getting on the shore, is like, "Hey guys, there's sharks! Get off the beach!" And I'm like, "You get the hell out of the water! Right, You're still in the water, right, dude!"
And then probably 6 or 7 people get mauled or killed on the beach.
In this sort of deep of water.
Yeah.
While Ian Ziering is out there.
Right there on the shore, and then... 5 minutes later, they're in the bar like, "Damn, that was crazy."
Exactly.
Like, what? That's pretty much what I want to do after people die on the beach.
Yeah.
Let's go get a beer, man.
Yeah, let's get a beer 5 feet away.
Is it happy hour? And can we move it up?
Reminisce about the event that just
I've worked up in a thirst out there when people die.
It's so salt crazy. Water. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was just jarring.
Because then they just go, because then don't they go in the bar and have like a normal scene?
Yeah, they're just like hanging out in the bar.
It happens a lot here in Santa Monica Pier. It's super weird. So then there's the huge attack. The Ferris wheel effect, I actually, compared to the other stuff, I was kind of impressed by.
Yeah, that was
the Ferris wheel rolling off the pier and crashing into the hotel. I was like, hey.
And ran over someone.
Yeah.
There's a non-shark.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
One non-shark right there. And the Wyoming guy.
We didn't revisit that guy, so we don't know if he died or if he was just injured.
The whole Ferris wheel rolled over.
Yeah. He may have just, maybe just
lived.
I get a cartoon and he keeps circling around and circling around.
It's like that Ferris wheel is coming down a very specific path.
Yeah.
Just, run.
It's like
sideways.
It's like
you need to run away from it. It's not chasing you.
It's like Prometheus with Charlize Theron, where that big spaceship, and she's like, keeps running straight. Spoiler, if you haven't seen Prometheus, she dies from getting crushed by a spaceship that's rolling. The same way as a Ferris wheel. There you go.
Spoiling
everything today. Let's see. Then, oh my God, there's so much. So then they get in a car, and the car scenes drove me insane in this movie. They drove me completely out of my mind because it was so jarring, because they were clearly cutting to like news footage of other hurricanes in other cities. So I'd see them driving. They'd have a car, CGI car, driving down a street in Burbank. Then they were supposed to be on the 405. Then they cut to like a neighborhood street when the cops were following him. The cops were on a neighborhood street and they were on a freeway. I was like, oh God, I can't. My brain can't handle the cutting of this movie. It's so confusing. It looked like a really, really well-made student film.
I think you're overthinking it a little bit.
Oh yeah,
they're just driving. It doesn't matter. They expect like the green screen behind her like change to the Eiffel Tower. And
there wasn't even a green screen. It was just a white light behind them.
Carve out a very specific route of where they were going. Because I need to know, as a Los Angeles native, it's very important to me.
Oh,
it's just route they took, so I can tell.
Like, that's my school. Oh, when, now they're downtown.
There's it.
When there is a Sharknado, I need to know.
Oh my God, we only have 14 minutes left.
Yeah.
Oh crap, we have so much more to talk about. Okay, let's play clip number 2. This is John Hurd when everybody else is trying to go out and save people on the freeway, and there's sharks everywhere.
There's sharks out there. You don't have to go out there. There's absolutely no reason to go out there.
It's a good call.
There's absolutely no reason to go out there.
There's sharks out there.
He's right. He's right.
And he's such a great actor. So, what are you doing in here?
Yeah. There's sharks out there. Is that the moment where he realized, oh man, what am I doing in this movie?
I hate my life.
There's absolutely no reason to be in this movie.
He might have just been in that bar. And they were like, "We're shooting a movie today." And he's like, "All right, cool.
Let's do this.
What do you need from me?"
Yeah.
Ian Ziering, he times the waves perfectly, and I still don't fully understand where the waves are coming from. I have no point of reference, but hey, it's Sharknado. Who cares? Then we get to the house where this sound clip's a little. It's like 30 seconds or so, but it's. I wrote down world's worst boyfriend and dialogue. Can we play this?
L.A. is drowning. I'm going inland. I'm taking my family with me. Finley, April is mine.
Excuse me.
My girlfriend is not your responsibility. And unless it's the 20th of the month, which it currently is not.
Oh, good.
Neither is Claudia.
Con, don't be rude. He's just worried about us.
Every time it rains in LA, everyone swears it's the storm of the century. And even if it is, Beverly Hills emergency services are second to none. We're safe here.
There are sharks flooding the streets. And now there's one swimming in your pool.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding? Sharks in a swimming pool is impossible.
that might rival the moment of Samuel L. Jackson in Deep Blue Sea. We're going to win this, and we're going to stick together.
Okay, so I just got to say, Deep Blue Sea, we controlled the robots in that.
Really?
Yeah, we actually did. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We did that on here. We were talking about how the animatronics were so good in that movie.
We used to do back before they did CGI, we did all the controls for Jurassic Park and Deep Blue Sea. We almost killed Samuel L. Jackson on set, I heard, too, because somebody ran over a cable and cut the wire and the thing like shot him through up into the wall. I was like, well, I wasn't on set. That's cool. I was
not here.
Wow.
For the record, Dan did not almost kill.
I did not almost kill Samuel L. Jackson.
And hey, he's still alive and kicking and doing 700 franchises right now.
That's right. So, okay, that was a total aside. I'm sorry.
Like
I just had to throw that in.
That's awesome. There's so many things. We don't have time to unpack everything in that sound clip. But I love that Beverly Hills emergency services are second to none.
Because there's so many emergencies in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. And when he says, April is mine, and she goes, excuse me, and he goes, my girlfriend isn't for you to, like, he doesn't, like, adjust or change or be like, sorry, babe. It's just like, no, I'm still a huge douche.
Also, like, not to get into super uncomfortable logistics of this house, but Tara Reid answers the door, and then the daughter comes out of a room, and then from the very same room the boyfriend comes out of, and immediately I was like, that's real gross. Why didn't you, like, I don't, probably nothing's going on, but maybe they should have just come from different parts of the house.
It's also weirder because
we didn't really notice that, but okay, now you pointed it out.
It's also weird that the daughter looks the same age as Ian's airing.
Yes.
It's really confusing.
Yes.
So, then we go to, oh my god, there's so much stuff. They bring up Matt, his son, and it's almost as if they're like, oh crap, what else do we have, where else can we go? Matt, we got a son now.
We need another
problem.
He has
a son now.
Yeah. Well, the other movies he ties in.
So. Oh, good. Okay. See, that's, you know, they had the long game.
Yeah.
They're like the MCU. They're the Marvel Cinematic Universe of shark tornado movies is what they're doing. And by the way, as much as we're making fun of this, this movie's supposed to be made fun of. I love it. It's perfectly just crazy, awful, and hilarious in the best ways. And I do want to see all five now and the sixth one when it comes out. But this is one of my favorite sound clips. It's where... No, actually, there's several favorite sound clips, but this is one of them. Can we play clip number four? This is when they're talking about how they thought Los Angeles was going to end.
Always thought there'd be an earthquake that'd be the end of Los Angeles.
Or a meteor shower. Zombies even.
Yeah. Really?
Like plague, aliens.
Okay.
But sharks, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Go figure. My luck, sharks.
Yeah, your luck, sharks.
Yeah. Go figure. My luck, sharks.
Yeah.
Like everybody else... Oh my god.
I'm not sure if any of that was like actually scripted or they're like, we'll just kind of talk.
It really felt like they were just like riff at the end here. Sharks, huh?
Sharks.
Classic.
I like that aliens wasn't crazy enough, but sharks were.
I like how aliens and zombies made his top five of ways that
zombies is a stretch.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe the CDC knows things we don't know. Oh, what do you think, Kirk? You don't think it's a stretch?
I'm saying aliens is a stretch, but sharks on. Ending Los Angeles, that's acceptable.
Well, yeah. I mean, they did explain later on that marine life can be picked up by winds and dropped 100 miles off.
That's true.
They said that, and I was like, I'm sure that's true. I'm not going to Google it. I trust sci-fi to fact check their movies. So then we have, what's my next clip? Is it, okay, so there's the bridge rescue scene. The best is, there's like 12 kids crammed into the back of an ambulance, and Ian Ziering awkwardly high-fives all of them at once. They all, like, hold up their hands, and he gets, like, one and a half of them, and the rest are just kind of like, aww.
Also, like, what a guy. He's on his way to save his son, and he's like, you know what? I'm actually going to rappel down off this bridge.
To a bus that they thought was empty.
Maybe an empty bus. But just a dude who's, like, driving in his car, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to rappel.
He can't help but save people.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's his...
It's in his DNA.
Yeah. That's his gift. He's a...
Not the character, the actor, Ian Ziering.
Sidebar of Ian Ziering,
wasn't in the script.
He was like, hey, I want to rappel here. Ian, that's going to be like a 20-minute sequence. I know. I was at Lake Tahoe, and we were renting jet skis, and there's a training video at the lake there, and Ian Ziering is the guy telling you how to ride the jet ski. And I was like, whoa!
Were you worried about sharks?
I should have been. That was before his resurgence with Sharknado. Because I'm sure they didn't pay... Maybe they did. Maybe they paid a pretty good price to be on a jet ski. Yes. The Hollywood Kills Me. See, that's Steve saying you're running out of time.
Move it along.
The guy that's ranting about being from Wyoming and wanting to be an actor, and he survives the bus disaster, and this happens.
My mom always told me Hollywood would kill me.
And then I guess a house or some metal roofing lands on him and murders him.
Yeah. And then again, they get in the car and they're like, off to my son.
They react to death so nonchalantly. Yeah. And then they're like, ah, okay.
Okay.
When John Hurd dies, only Nova's upset. Everybody else is like, all right, we got to keep going. It's like they've been hardened by the apocalypse for 10 years.
Yeah.
Instead of 15 minutes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Does
they're well-trained shark marines.
They are. You know, he
accept it.
He accepts it right away. They go into a shop and they get supplies. My favorite thing was watching Tara Reid pretend to do things with her environment when she's there's a part where she has the hedge clippers, and it's like they were like, just like, we don't have a battery for it, so just like fiddle with it. And for the entire scene, she's just going like this. And not pressing anything, but it's like a 5-minute scene. I'm like, but just give her something to do other than that. I felt so bad because you can tell she's just like, the hell else do I do?
Why would I do this?
Can't I pick up any other item? No. We don't. Our props budget was really low for today.
Continuity is important for this shot.
So poor Terry just has to stand there like, all right.
Well, I guess I have this.
This is it. Well, let's play clip number 6. This is the apocalypse guy, the conspiracy theorist in the convenience store.
Apocalypse my ass. This isn't the end of the world. Gods, they're not angry with us. The aliens aren't coming down. It's the government.
Okay.
Yeah, with a big capital G. They're behind everything. They know what we buy. They know what we eat, where we go to the bathroom.
Hurry, hurry.
They know what kind of cheese I like. Pepper Jack. They control it all. And the weather, too. Unlike anything we have ever seen. I gotta hand it to them, though. Sharks. I never saw that coming.
Yeah.
I love that because I feel like Geostorm watched this movie and then got the idea for Geostorm from that, where he's like, the government controls the weather. Let's cast Gerard Butler and do this. I'll bet that was fun. Did they have MX4D Geostorm?
Yes.
We did do Geostorm.
Oh, God. I feel like that would have been insane.
I didn't see it. Kirk got to watch it.
I feel like that would have been the only way to watch that movie.
That's one cool thing about MX-40 is it could draw you into movies that otherwise you wouldn't see.
Yeah.
I actually did pretty good with Geostorm.
Or at least admit to seeing.
Right.
Didn't we?
Yeah. It makes great movies even more cool, and it makes terrible movies awesome. Yeah. There you go. MX-40's
that's
new
logo.
Great movies even better. Terrible movies awesome. All right, you can talk to my lawyer afterwards for the rights to that. I'm kidding.
I'm his lawyer.
He does a terrible job.
I didn't go to law school.
I'll give him $1 for that.
That works.
He actually just signed me up for legal Zoom. That's all. Yeah. I don't know how to do that.
I got a nice retainer out of it. I do like that this guy's like convinced it's a conspiracy that the government knows his favorite cheese, but then he's so ready to just tell people what his favorite cheese is.
Yeah.
He's just like immediately afterwards is like Pepper Jack. Like maybe because you tell everyone, dude, that's how everyone knows.
And to this movie's credit, there are very tongue-in-cheek moments like that, which I love. And I love this movie for what it is. It's supposed to be something that you laugh at and make fun of. That's the point of it. And so if the writer is watching right now, we're lovingly making fun of it because it's awesome and I'm going to watch. Congratulations, I'm watching all 5 this weekend and my wife is going to hate me for it. But now we have clip number... God, I feel like we talked so much about... here we go. Yes, thank you, Steve. Thank you. So this is Ian Ziering's hero moment where I don't know what the idea behind this is. They could get in a helicopter and get out of there, but instead they're like, we're going to take on these thousands of sharks.
Yep.
Fly in these storms.
What are we going to do?
We're going to stand and fight.
Why?
You can't just wait here and wait for sharks to rain down on us.
That's what you're going to do.
We could arm ourselves with something more powerful than these.
He throws his crowbar aside. Yeah. And, then they get chainsaws. They get the infamous bush trimmer thing that hedge trimmer.
They make bombs.
Out of propane tanks.
Yeah.
And as we found out, they made just enough bombs to not be able to fail with any of them.
Yeah.
Like they made exactly 3 bombs and to take on that helicopter. Two of them worked great.
Oh, well, they actually had 4, right, because they had the one in the truck, too, as a backup.
Right, but they only took up with them enough where they couldn't fail.
And they were under a time crunch.
Yeah.
Nova, she's really good at throwing bombs at exactly where you need in a tornado.
Yes.
Spinning around in a helicopter that's being thrown all over. Right.
With sharks.
Right. Yeah, with sharks.
With sharks. Yeah. And I like that they started off having Nova be the love interest for Finn, Ian Ziering's character, and then they just kind of just do a one, just
hard
go, here.
Pivot to
here,
the sun.
Just have the sun. And then I'm like, that's strange. And the dad's like, what's up, Tara Reid? And she wipes off the blood at the end and kisses him. And I was just like, this whole dynamic is strange.
She's probably going to be a robot soon. That's what I was thinking in my mind. I was like, that's not a human thing.
I want to show the other MX4D video we have. So I got to go through the other sound clips where Nova has her awesome Jaws reference line. Can we play clip number 8?
We're going to need a bigger chopper.
Obviously, we're going to need a bigger... Sorry, I forgot I had that. I hope this bomb idea of yours works. It will.
It will.
All right. Well, also, you sold me.
It was also cool. A geoscientist. I know everything.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's a paramedic, right?
Yeah. When they ran out to the helicopter and they were like, I don't know if this is going to work. And the son like takes a peek at it and he goes, oh, she'll work.
Like, cool. All right. There you go.
I guess we'll come back to that.
There you go. Dan, will you describe your favorite scene where Ian jumps through the shark? Because it seems like you love that.
Oh, it's because it doesn't just happen in this one. I don't know, spoilers.
Spoiler away.
There's eating and chainsaws and many of the Sharknado.
So how does it happen in this one? Describe for the viewers who haven't seen it.
Well, he's got that stance.
Yeah.
You can't just wait for it. You have to stand with that chainsaw ready to go. There's a whole training method to it, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you've watched the behind the scenes.
Yeah, once you've got that down, you can just right through any
just
shark, no
launches
matter how
up.
Big, in, out, and jumped into it. So
I like that he launches through the shark's mouth, getting grazed by none of the teeth.
Oh, yeah, because they're wide open.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, the shark was
He's really hungry. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to eat this.
And then we think he's dead, and all of a sudden he saws through, and we have this sound clip, the feral scream. It's so good. I have a feeling that after I watch 5 Sharknado movies, I'm going to run out of my house going... Everybody's going to be like, what's wrong? I'll be like, I just watched 5 Sharknado movies in one weekend.
Are you going to cosplay and be covered in shark blood when you do it?
I should. Now, I know we got to get out of here soon. So, Stephen, can we play just the one with the seats? Yeah, I want to show everybody. I wanted to show this in the top, and I got so excited I forgot. This is a visual of what it all looks like. So if you're listening to this, watch us on YouTube so you can see it. All right, play away. This is what we experienced yesterday.
Look at tornadoes.
Yeah,
see? I don't see any sharks in there, though.
The wind effects are awesome.
We didn't know.
Oh, my God. It rumbles, like, when every punch, every explosion, you get surprises. Seat poppers, not butt poppers.
Sorry, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the leg ticklers, Jesse's favorite.
That's my jam.
That's his jam. The rain effects. They're used sparingly, don't worry. You don't need a poncho. We had a little pine scent in the forest, I thought.
It's the dramatic music that really makes
it. Oh, yeah.
Dun-dun-dun, go see MX4D. Makes terrible movies awesome and better movies amazing.
The strobe effects were so cool every time Thor used what was it called? Stormbreaker, right?
I haven't seen it.
The axe. The bubbles with Thanos. It made that scene even more poignant. That's what you get at MX4D.
That's right.
Why go to a movie when you can experience a movie, ladies and gentlemen?
That's it.
See, I am available to do commercials for MX4D, by the way. I am very unemployed at the moment, MX4D. So anyways, that's all the time we have for today, so I don't need to play that. Can we play the shark song as we go out? Because it's so good. This is the Sharknado theme song as we say our outros. Oh, plug ourselves first. Okay, there we go. So anyways, Dan and Kirk, thank you so much for coming on the show. And
thank you for
giving us the experience of MX4D. Where can they find MX4D on
Twitter?
Hashtag,
you can't get this at home.
All right, I like that. And MX, it's at MX4D. What's the official Twitter? MX4D_global and at MediaMationMX4D on Twitter. There we go. All right.
But we're everywhere.
You are everywhere. Just hashtag MX4D. You're going to see our tweets.
MediaMationMX4D.
There you go. Jesse, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TooMuchJesse and for sketch at The Prom Losers.
You can find me at TheBenBegley. And you can find us at Guilty Movie Guys, like we say every week. Throw out some suggestions. It only takes one tweet to sway our opinion week to week. And also, you can find my wife and I. We have a parenting blog. It's at Parents versus Babies. So check that out, even if you're not a parent. It's a parent?
A parent.
Just adding vowels. Yep. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.